You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at LeBron James and the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Might have to put Larry Nance, LeBron James, the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers after this one. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at SB Nation's FearTheSword.com. On today's show, 92.3's Alex Cooper is back to recap the Cavs beating the Detroit Pistons 112-90 in the last game of their homestand before they go on a road trip. Out west, we'll face a variety of teams out there, but we'll get to that later this week. Alex, what's going on?
This is my last game before a road trip to my actual beat, until the playoffs at least. I'm sure I'll be back in the playoffs, but this is
better
this
be back
me.
In the playoffs. Like, I'm going to need you back so we can...
Didn't we do...
We did do one in the playoffs.
Was that the one... Was it over after that, or was that just...
You know, it's a blur. I wasn't sleeping very much.
I think we did the pod... In the playoffs in game 4 before it went back to Oakland?
That sounds about right.
I don't know. It was a real nice night tonight, and I'm bringing up old wounds and opening them. So sorry.
They're always open. This is Cleveland. It's all out of the chest. Always there.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is we got to be able to do a better one at a better time. But yeah. Right now, what better place than here? What better time than now?
This was a game I think the Cavs really needed to have. And as always, just so people know, this is Zach Wilkins Arena. If you hear things in the background, it is people doing their jobs. Shouts to these people that are working after the game.
We're not in trouble.
I sometimes have had security guards come and ask me like why I'm still sitting here. I just show them my press pass, and I get out of it. But there are people tearing down the queue. So if you hear that, that's what you're hearing. But the star of this game, LeBron James had a great game, right? Rodney Hood had a good game. Larry frickin' Nance. Sets new career highs in points with 22. 15 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 assist, 9 of 15 from the field, made a lot of 18-footish jumpers, 4 or 5 from the line, played some really, really excellent defense on Andre Drummond, had some great alley-oop finishes, two or three in this game, at least one from LeBron, and one from J.R. Smith that was a piece of artwork from J.R. Smith that pass. But Larry Nance, first start as well. What did you make of his big night for the Cavs?
I mean, it was, I don't want to say exactly what I thought we'd see from him, because it definitely exceeded what I just kind of ho-hum thought he would do, but I obviously thought that Nance at the 5 would be a step forward. I think everyone who's kind of watched him start to fit in with his team has thought he would be an upgrade at that position and thought he has been terribly effective, and sure enough, he was terribly effective. I think that might actually be putting it lightly. He does everything to benefit this offense. He gets out on the break. He's able to create openings in the pick and roll and actually open the floor from the inside out. And adding that 15, 18-foot jump shot, that was a game changer completely as well. And then defensively, what he does is just about everything. He had tip-aways starting runouts. He had blocks. He really did a nice job, like you said, with Drummond. It's just... None of it was a surprise. Larry's been great, and he was extremely great tonight.
It's something that various members of the media asked kind of in different ways after the game, but it was asked about Lewis, asked about him, asked about LeBron. They're all answering this very diplomatically, which I think is probably the smart move considering you have Tristan. They're not obviously going to publicly throw someone on their team under the bus. But I think it's very clear to us, and at least speak for you and I, he's been the biggest impact player for this casting out of the trades. I think, you know, Clarkson kind of started off very hot. Hood had that really big game last week. George Hill, I think, has maybe his shot isn't quite falling yet, but I think he's been a steadying presence at point guard. I think he's fit in very nicely. Larry Nance has been the star, and I think he got a huge pop from the crowd. He's already getting this love. If you're watching at home on Fox Sports Time Ohio, or Fox Sports Ohio, rather, he's pretty much always been on TV after the game. It's just like he's usually the first one we're flocking to. It's just the way this has worked out. In this game, I think you saw everything you love about Larry Nance. With Drummond, he fought for position, he hounded him, he recovered well, and he didn't let Andre Drummond have any space. And that's key for a guy like that. didn't really. Drummond, I think, had like a 5-of-5 night, was what Lou said after the game, but he wasn't very involved, and that's because of Nance. He made Andre Drummond have to account for him cutting into the lane and stepping out, and he hit those shots that they're giving him. If he actually can hit that, that's a really big development. And then these lobs, not only do I think they energize him, do they energize his teammates, who you can watch the clips that you've seen on Twitter. They're throwing up their arms, they're coming off the bench celebrating, but the crowd feeds into this. And I think everything he's doing right now, he's been the star of this trade, and I don't, we're going to see if he keeps the starting spot. Lou is not answering that. They asked it kind of directly a couple times in his post-game presser, but he's making the case. Like, if he plays like this the rest of the road trip, while Tristan is maybe out 2 weeks, a loose slip-up from his post-game presser, Larry Nance is making the case, if he wasn't already, that he should be the starting center on this team.
I think I said it the last time we did this, and I'll say it again. As long as he's finishing the game, that's fine. As long as he's out of foul trouble and finishing the game, being that defensive guy on the floor, that's fine. As long as he's getting the most minutes at that position, I think that's fine. I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel by saying any of this, but I'm not necessarily concerned with who starts, but I think he is quite obviously the guy in the center, and he does, from this homestand, I think Larry Nance did more in his time on the floor than anyone not named LeBron James. And I think you can say that probably for every single game. I know George Hill had that one nice game. But I think overall, collectively, it's been LeBron and then Larry Nance. That could change as teams' game plans change and as they scheme for how the Cavs use Larry Nance, especially with that predictable offense. But right now, he's your second best player. And I think you got to use him as such.
It'll be interesting to see if he has how he approaches his shot selection. If he's taking these 18 footers and he looks comfortable doing it. Ty Lue said he has 3-point range, which I don't necessarily buy, but that I think we're gonna maybe see that revisited. Not this season, but I think beyond this season, that's gonna be something that I see them trying to mine in him. He took one and it looked okay. His form's not perfect.
From the hardest part on the arc. Shoot a three too, and he's been shooting them at shoot around every day, and he's looked
and they posted
very
a video.
Capable.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that becomes something of his game. He said that he did not just have that chance to show that off, but if he can hit that's another way he's different from Tristan Thompson. If he can do that, be a little bouncier, move a little bit better than Tristan, who I think the Cavs need both of them. I think that's just factual. I know people are going to argue that Nance should just get all the minutes, but
Twitter is saying that Tristan Thompson should be waived because he's the second best center on his team.
Yeah. Maybe Ante Zizic is, we'll get to him later, but yes, Ante Zizic started tonight. But Larry Nance, just spectacular. I think LeBron, in the non-LeBron category, I think you're right, the best Cav.
The other thing the Cavs did in this game is debut new starting lineup. That is Rodney Hood and Larry Nance in, Jody Osmond to the bench, Tristan Thompson obviously out with the injury, as we've talked about and you've read. It's George Hill, J.R. Smith, Rodney Hood, LeBron James at the four, Larry Nance, the five. Alex, what did you think of the Cavs and their new starting lineup and how it looked in a variety of different ways?
So that Cavs starting lineup was +3 in, 21, almost 22 minutes. And that's with Larry Nance going off and LeBron, he had 16 at halftime. Nance had the 18 at halftime.
They were the only two in my mind that actually played well at the start.
Right.
So I think that's worth noting that Hill just kind of struggled early. Hood only had really that good third quarter. JR was a non-factor again, but it was Nance and LeBron in the first half. In the first quarter especially, that actually did damage. No one else exactly did.
Right. Hill had 3 points the entire night. Smith had none. Hood ended up with 13 because he had a 9-point third, which kind of propelled that lineup. I mean the lineup, it's better. I like the lineup more, and if having that lineup out there enables Larry Nance to do what he does, then sure, that's great. Obviously that's not the case. A lot of it was the fact that they're playing the Detroit Pistons, who are reeling at the moment.
Yes.
So too early to tell, but I mean, if I were constructing the lineup and I were putting the best players in the lineup, these would be the guys in there. I mean, if I had all the best players, I'd probably put Kyle Korver in there over J.R. Smith. But you need someone in that second unit, so obviously that's Korver. Yeah, I like it. I'm fine with it going forward. I think it'll continue to be beneficial going forward. I think exposing Larry Nance again for more minutes, the most minutes, then you're sitting pretty. I like it a lot.
Who would you bump for? Let's say Kevin Love magically has a healed hand tomorrow. Magically, just his left hand's good. He can play, and he's back in the lineup. You're obviously not bumping Nance, I would assume. Who do you bump to make room for Kevin Love at the four spot? Which one of the wing players? I guess it's JR or Rodney Hood, but which one of them would you bump to put Kevin Love?
I think it depends. If Hood continues, or begins, I should say, if Hood begins to thrive in that first unit, I think you probably keep him there. But also, you're going to need that scoring somewhere. And if Kevin Love's in that lineup, then you're going to get more offense. You're going to need more defense. And I think JR is probably, at this point, still more adept defensively than
Rodney Hood. At least against the type of guys they might want him to. Depends on size.
Sure.
I mean, I could see Hood being a better theoretical matchup for Klay Thompson than JR. But and I think JR, I think with George Hill, there's less of the need for JR to defend point guards than there was with Kyrie or with Isaiah Thomas. And I think that's worth considering here too.
Yeah, if the end game is indeed the Warriors, then I think it's Rodney Hood. Ty Lue's even said already that he thinks Lue is better than Smith in the pick and roll. Hood is better. Maybe he thinks he's better as well. But Hood is better in the pick and roll.
To quote Ty Lue, he'll say, I don't know. I don't remember. So, I wonder if Hood is the right fit. I think he probably ends up being the better fit here. I'd be curious to see how they would adapt to that. I think Hood, just the length, it can make him interesting more in twos. I wonder if, with what the Cavs are going to see against Toronto and Boston, George Hill's obviously going to be defending Kyle Lowry and Kyrie in those series. Is Hood a better matchup for DeRozan? Than JR. I mean, JR's had some success
JR
against him, but,
had,
but,
right.
but JR, I think DeMar is playing at a really high level this year against Boston. You know, does Hood give you enough length against Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? Like, does he give you an advantage there that you maybe need? I think it's too early for us to know who Hood would have to hit in the level, but I think that's sort of what the decision that is coming for Ty Lue is some version of that, I would say.
And I think it might maybe be an overrated concept to a degree, but team chemistry is somewhat factored into this. I don't think JR really wants to move to the bench.
He said he would, but it's with him and Tristan, I wonder how they would both accept it. I think it's a fair question.
And it's already been kind of a tumultuous season for him. I don't think rattling that cage, unless you need to. I mean, obviously you have to make the best basketball play, but if you don't need to rattle that cage, if you think it's pretty much a moot point, then I think you just leave it as is. But again, then you want to help the second unit.
A lot of questions, I think, still to come is sort of the theme of this. Even on a night where they played really well. The one thing I think you wanted to touch on is the rebounding. The Cavs had a very good rebounding performance in this game. Out-rebounded the Pistons 53-40 at the 13 advantage. That's because of Nance, but LeBron had 7. Zizic had 6. Osman had 6. Clarkson had 6 rebounds as well, with Hood and George Hill both having 3. Looking at cleaning the glass, looking at some of those, the Cavs, I mean, ended up posting a really, really good offensive rebounding percentage in this game as well, and of 23.5%, and did a lot of work on the offensive glass, and I think they handled a very good Pistons rebounding team. They did at least have the bigs, and I was asking a lot of LeBron to maybe guard Blake. What stood out to you in terms of the rebounding side for the Cavs?
I mean, I'm going to go back to Larry Nance again. It's kind of ad nauseum at this point, but I really liked what he did in terms of knowing when not to contest a shot and getting into his box out. He did that a lot with Drummond when he had guys in front of him, and maybe throwing up just one hand from semi-distance to contest wasn't necessary, as opposed to just securing a rebound or even just blocking Drummond out and allowing someone else to get the rebound. There were a couple of instances where Nance just cleared out. Otherwise, I think this team just did it by committee. I think they didn't leak out into transition as much, and they just made a concerted effort to crash the boards because they had to. But ultimately, I think it's Nance. The thing I like about Nance, the other thing I like about Nance, I should say, is he has the strength to body these guys. He doesn't look necessarily like a guy who I would just look right at him and say, oh yeah, this guy can handle Andre Drummond's strength. This guy can handle.
I personally think, you know, he struggled with Embiid, who's obviously a freak, but I was kind of curious how he was going to handle Drummond. It was one of my big key points to this game was how is Nance going to do against a guy like Drummond, who's a deserving All-Star this season.
Yeah, I mean, 15 points, 9 rebounds from that guy. And he was 5 of 5, and he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line.
But that's not a lot of touches for him.
Exactly.
And he got that technical because he got very frustrated. Him and Blake both had technicals.
And I just think that was a lot of it, as Nance kind of took him out of the game for the most part. Even when Ante Zizic was in, he did a nice job with Drummond. So I guess I could technically question whether or not Andre Drummond took himself out of the game. It's very possible.
Probably a little true as well, as much as Nance kicked him a little bit inside and beat him up a little bit. I wonder, that's probably part of it too, just the frustrations that's in you. And that, I think, because they were close, and they were led after the first quarter, falls apart by half, and then the third quarter is just a bludgeoning. And LeBron doesn't even play the fourth. And that's something we haven't even talked about yet, but that in itself just had to be demoralizing for the Pistons.
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, obviously huge for LeBron and the Cavs when he was, what, 28 minutes? 29 minutes? And, you know, JR gets 22, Hill 23. Just, you got to rest some people, and that's demoralizing in itself. I think the Pistons are just in a bad way right now. I think that was pretty obvious by their performance, but the Cavs needed this, man. They needed, it didn't matter what the level of the team was, they needed to house someone after. There were so many games where the Cavs would be in it, at least through halftime, looking not great, but like still knowing they could win. They needed to put together a full performance, and they did. And it didn't matter that it was against a team who was reeling completely. They just needed this win. They're going to go out on the road where they have not played well really at all. What are they, 15-15 on the road at this point?
And it's, you know, they have some bad teams. They're going to, the Lakers, right, are playing well right now, but they're not necessarily a great team. You have the Suns, who are just tanking.
Clippers, who are
They're playing very well, but then, yeah, you also have games, you know, in Denver, in Portland, that are, sure, teams that are fighting for a playoff position. And, I mean, the Nuggets just spanked the Caps. Like, we're not far removed from that. So I think this trip is going to tell us something. You'll hear a conversation later this week with Adam Maras from Locked On Nuggets, but I think this trip will reveal something about the Caps. Speaking of Larry Nance, though, you're going to hear from him, his post-game scrum, which LeBron allowed him to go first. But you'll hear from Nance, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the Cavs beating the Detroit Pistons.
Guys, Larry is available now. Go ahead.
Oh, that went well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Starting looks good on
the team. Looks, you know, the team played well. You know, so whatever that was in a tribute to, I'm just happy we won.
Drummond, in the last game, Kevin got hurt in the first couple of minutes, and he wound up with like 21 points and 22 boards. What did you do to kind of limit him tonight?
I just tried to hit first. You know, a guy like that, anytime a shot goes up, he's trying to wedge you into the basket and stuff like that. So you have to really, pre-box out almost. You know, you got to see, anticipate. All right, the shot's about to go up. I got to hit him to see if I can root him out before he gets back.
Larry, where are you most comfortable at, starting or coming off the bench?
I've been coming off the bench my whole career, but you know, today was different. So it doesn't matter to me. I just am comfortable on the court. So.
You mentioned sort of rooting him out. Is that just like a singular focus with a guy like that? You sort of enter the game knowing this is my number one priority tonight, is keeping him off the glass.
Absolutely. Yeah, my whole game plan, to be honest with you, was just keeping – I didn't care if I had zero rebounds. I just wanted him to have zero as well. Yeah, exactly. He could do all he wants defensively, but I just didn't want him to get any offensive.
It was a career high in points and rebounds for you tonight. Did it feel – like that strong of an effort for you? Were you going to the game like, man, I never played this well before, maybe?
Not really. I mean, it just felt, it just kind of felt easy. You know, the guys were giving me all the opportunities in the world to make my shots, and I just happened to be making them tonight.
Larry, Ty said he didn't know you could shoot like that. Have you gone deeper into your toolbox since you've been here, or is it just not a part of your game that you necessarily showed much of?
I just haven't gotten a chance to show much of it. You know, I whatever it was, I just wasn't that comfortable shooting in LA, but I was coaching staff or the guys, they have the utmost confidence in me shooting that shot, and I feel great shooting it too.
You've been catching a ton of lobs from the guys, but the one from JR, I don't remember which quarter it was, but I mean, that was pretty incredible.
I'll have to check it out. I think they're having fun just kind of tossing up there and seeing like, all right, let's see if we can go get this one. It was a heck of a pass. It was right on the money.
Normally, does Dad give you a critique after a game, or do you guys talk much right after
a game? Yeah, I call him before and after every game I play.
What do you expect
to hear? He'll be in the family room, so I don't know. I saw some little image that had like my first career start for the Cavs and his first career start for the Cavs. I got him by a little bit, so so I'm sure I'll razz him about that.
Now that he's done it for a month and you started alongside him tonight, what do you like most about him?
You know, I said everything just felt easy. I think a large part is he's a large part of that. You know, catching just layups, those mid-range jumpers. He draws, his gravity is ridiculous. When he has the ball, the entire other team's defense is just locked on him. So us cutting and us moving on the backside and him finding us is ridiculous.
Is there a component of that about having to be ready at all times?
Absolutely. I mean, there's still times like... I'm still learning to have my hands up. You know, there are a couple times in the Memphis game, a couple times in the Oklahoma City game, even the occasional time today where, like, I did not know I was open, but he did. So a ball comes flying through the lane. It's like, oh, okay, I was open, I guess. It's just an adjustment period.
With the jumper, is it important just that you're able to that you see you take them, make or miss, just that you're keeping defenses honest and you're willing to get them up?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if a guy is just taking jumpers but not making any, I'm still not going to respect him. So, it's nice to see a couple go in, and it's nice for opposing. It's nice for us to have that as a threat.
Larry's still getting used to the offense and everything. What is a night like tonight where you put up the numbers you did sort of go do for your confidence going forward?
To be honest with you, I playing here, I have quite a bit of confidence. You know, whether it's the coaching staff or the guys, they have confidence in me, therefore I have it myself. But, you know, the numbers, the night individually I had is all secondary to the win.
Do you notice any physical difference in guarding guys like Embiid and Drummond as compared to guarding power forwards?
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. You know, those guys are all stars for a reason, and they're probably the biggest guy on the court at all times. And so, yeah, you just definitely got to pay extra attention to them pretty much all the time.
And we're back. There was Larry Nance. You'll maybe recognize a certain podcast host voice at the end of that, but one of the other random things about this game, there's a couple of random things about this game, like we can look at like how good LeBron played, and you know, I don't think his defense on Blake was always great in this game. I think that just kind of just the caveat with LeBron is always going to be what is his defense like. He had a really good game overall, but the defense a little shaky. But Ante Zizic, the Croatian sensation, they said he's gonna play for the game. I didn't think Ty Lue's pregame comments about him were exactly a ringing endorsement of what he expected out of Zizic, who's a rookie, who's played more in the G League this year, is averaging 16-9 with the Canton Charge in like 16 games. But here's the stat line: 16 minutes, 3-3 from the field, 6 boards, 2 assists, a steal, a block, picked up 3 fouls, but 6 points for him. I thought was way better than I would have expected. What did you make of Ante Zizic getting his first real NBA action?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I talked about Ante, I said, just flat out, he's not ready. And I still believe that. But he gave you good minutes. I think all 16 of those minutes were very solid.
Yeah, I mean, we can probably write off the garbage time stuff. But if you look at how, you know, he spent some time on Blake Griffin, I think did well against Blake. He moved his feet very well.
Right, he was never really out of position. And that's all I was looking for him, is to not even be a flat-out rim protector. I just wanted him to provide competent inside defense. And I thought the way he was able to defend both guards when he, you know, had to
show over and help. And the big guys, when he was on them, which mostly Eric Moreland, but some with Blake Griffin, he stayed vertical and he altered shots. I mean, Blake total, what, 10 for 22, hit those three threes early on. But I thought when it was Zizic, he did a really nice job. I was very impressed with it, and I'm not saying, hey, let's make sure we get this guy some minutes every single game now, but I was very impressed with what he was able to do.
A very, a very raw performance from him. He's still a raw player. He's someone that I think is a long-term play more than anything, but I think you saw the outline of what he could be. He moved a lot better on defense than I would have imagined. He rebounds well. He's in the right position a lot, and he's a very smart player on offense. He knows what he's doing. And he also had made the smart move when LeBron got fouled. And he did a really, really smart thing, and he helped up LeBron. And then he sprinted back down the other end of the floor and made a defensive play. I was really, really intrigued to see just how he did. I think Ty Lue talked about this after the game, that G League time did him some good. I firmly believe that is a way to develop guys like him. I think it would have been the right move for Jetty, for example, if Jetty had not broken into the rotation and done what he's done. I think it would have been the right move for him to spend more time in Canton. You can see, I think, him getting actual minutes, getting reps with Vitaly Potapenko, who's a Cavs assistant coach who's worked a lot with him. It's paid off. He looked so much better than what we've seen him. I think it's not enough to throw him in the rotation long term, but if he plays in Denver later this week when they're going to have two bigs on the floor in Jokic and Plumlee, go to Portland when they're going to have Myers Leonard and Nushev Nurkic, Brooke Lopez and Channing Frye in L.A. You go down the list. They're going to. I know it's sad thinking about Channing. They're going to maybe need him on this trip if Tristan's out 2 weeks just to fill minutes of Larry Nance isn't playing 40 minutes a night.
First of all, can you imagine what Jetty would have done in the G League just looking at him?
He didn't look good the one game he played. His offense was not good in the one game he played.
It's a different game, though, man. I've seen the way those games are played, and it's not quite NBA best. And I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. It's just it's a different look.
So
I'm not shocked.
So for context on this, when Larry Sanders made his debut last year, when he played with Canton and he had, his timing looked really, really off, but he had like a bunch of blocks and played some minutes. He didn't dominate, but he looked competent. And he said after that the speed wasn't NBA, but it was faster than anything else you could get. And I think it sort of exists in this nebulous area between high-end college basketball and NBA basketball.
And certainly EuroLeague.
Yeah, and it's probably not as good. It's certainly not as good as high-end EuroLeague. It's certainly also a different style of play, and the environment's different because it's in these small arena in cities that are off the beaten path. It's in Canton and Sioux Falls and whatnot. But Zizic benefited, I think, and they run similar sets to what the Cavs are doing. As much as you can replicate LeBron James, like they're doing something similar down there.
And you could definitely see it. And also, I think in the G League, if there's going to be anyone who's getting closest to the NBA experience, it would be a big. I think the guys down there are a lot closer on the spectrum to some of the lower end bigs in the NBA than maybe, a guard is to having to ever defend Stephen Curry, anything like that. Yeah, I really liked it.
Like, and Kay Felder runs
sure,
wild in the G
right,
League.
Exactly.
Look, he's not an NBA player.
Right, it's different. My second favorite Ante moment, other than the helping LeBron thing up, which was funny in its own right because LeBron was like, no, like I do this all the time.
Like, he's just like, no, you have to get up.
Yeah, like, please, come on, we're playing defense, get back with me. But my other favorite thing is Ante hit a nice hook shot, and on the bench, Damon Jones just like tackled Potapenko and like rubbed his bald head because... Man, you go on a shoot-around every day, and those two are working very closely. They're just really trying to develop this kid, and it was nice to see some tangible progress. I'm sure he feels great right now because I bet he feels like he can hang. I don't know that he's ever felt that way. Maybe he has. Maybe he's confidence, a rational confidence guy, but I think he definitely feels like he can hang, and he should.
Of note, 5 charge players played in this game, ex-charge players. That is 4 for the Cavs, John Holland and Lennon Perantes. The Cavs, 2-way players played in garbage time. Zizic and Osman also played. And then Eric Moreland, who was on the charge last year and was a very good player with the charge last year, played a lot of minutes for the Pistons, not particularly late. Random second quarter lineup.
Speaking of Zizic.
So, quick reactions on this. Calderon, Clarkson, Zizic, Korver, Osman?
Yeah.
I never thought I would see this.
All the white dudes in Clarkson.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And the Internationals in Clarkson, yeah.
I was very shocked.
Bye, guys. See you after the road trip.
Goodbye, Spencer. Goodbye, Brian.
Cameos from two of our colleagues there, and we're in the bowels of Quiggillens Arena, but...
Probably cameos from plenty of people at this point.
Yeah, lots of people. I did not think that lineup was going to work. It was plus two in the second quarter. It helped set up that run. I don't think we should ever see that lineup again in a reasonable way, but might see it on the road trip. But did you make anything of that? What was just your reaction to seeing that lineup out there? I couldn't believe Jose Calderon was playing. That was sort of my thing.
Well, I mean, he did torch the Pistons that last time, so I guess I'm not totally surprised. And he had a nice, 16 minutes of Jose Calderon basketball. Jordan Clarkson passed the ball, which was cool. He
passed to Kyle Korver several times tonight. Big improvement.
And yeah, my head was going to explode last game because Clarkson had a couple, at least two instances where Kyle Korver was wide open in the corner and he just took it at the hole and threw up wild shots. I mean, he was right next to Kyle tonight and hit him with a nice shovel pass. And of course, Korver knocked it down because that's Kyle Korver. But yeah, it was a lineup that played basketball. And they were plus two. It didn't look awful. If Jetty would have hit some shots tonight, he would have had a huge night.
He missed one or two corner threes. 5-11 is not bad for him overall. Had that really nice finish on Blake.
Blake. He broke down Anthony Tolliver, mm-hmm. and that crossover was, a B-minus. But he hit the shot, which is all that really matters.
Yeah, and LeBron praised him after the game.
As he should. He knows his guy. I don't know. I really like Jetty, man. He's just got... He's not there yet.
But he's getting there.
He's just... His instincts are fantastic. You were talking about, the way he kind of got to the hoop in one way or the other in EuroLeague.
So if...
I love his finishing.
So when he played for the Turkish national team this summer, he would get rebounds and just barrel up the floor. He doesn't do that now. He does it once in a while, but you can see, especially lately, especially when he's a starter, deferred to LeBron, deferred to George Hill. Calderon is calling out to him in this game. You notice these little things where he doesn't have the free reign. In time, you're just going to see if they would allow him to go that way, but he's not refined enough yet, and he hasn't exactly been a great free throw shooter to kind of take advantage of getting some looks, free throws out of chaos just yet.
I really like the way when he attacks the basket, he's able to kind of stay on the left side and then use the rim as protection and go to that right hand, that up and under. He looks good every time, and he finishes just really well. And for a young kid to do that, I've just been really impressed. I tweet it every single time. I yell elite finisher every time he goes up for a bucket.
I said next out. It's true. It's true.
I've talked about remaining objective before, but I am subjectively invested in Jetty's future because he's just a really quiet kid, but also really impressive in a lot of ways, and also just the story of kid coming over from Turkey and playing on a championship contender right away it's fun, and I wish nothing but success for him, and he's getting more of that than not.
Wrap it up in this year. Cavs do go on a road trip now. Do you feel good? Do you think this is the kind of win they needed as they go into the start of this road trip where they're going to go to a bunch of cities and play a variety of different teams?
I do. I think to win this one is nice. Doesn't necessarily mean anything than one more in the column, but I think getting out on the right foot with this starting lineup is fantastic because I think ultimately this is closest to your starting lineup that you're going to have in the playoffs, just minus Kevin Love and, plus one of the guys that's going to move the bench. You're only going to get deeper, you hope, unless there's an injury. But I think that's the big thing. I don't think Tristan's injury could have possibly happened at a better time, at least in a small, kind of a microcosm kind of way.
Yeah.
I used that completely incorrectly, but you know what I'm saying.
So, in Robert, in this for real, if he misses 2 weeks, that means he could return at the end of the – if it's 2 weeks from Saturday, that is the 17th in Chicago would be his return date. If not, if he returns after 2 weeks and it's 2 weeks to Sunday, that would mean the Bucks game and the Raptors game back in Cleveland when they come back home. I mean, you're right. I think it's the right time. I mean, would you just keep him out the whole road trip, let him rehab in Cleveland, just play very cautious? Or would that be how you approach it? No, I mean, we don't know very much yet, just yet. It's just it was new information and with no context that he's missing 2 weeks, basically. It was just thrown in there at the end of his loose presser. Do you think 2 weeks is the right time for him?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He's suffered with some of these things for a lot of the year. I think you need him despite what people are saying, I think you need him to a degree. And I think having him as your second big will benefit you at times. I don't think you bring him back with any sort of, these are the amount of minutes you're going to play. I think you use him to spell I think you use him to spell Larry Nance, keep him around these 32 minutes, and that's that. But I don't know that because of the contract, because of the Rich Paul stuff or any of that, that you need to force him into the lineup. He can help you at times. Sometimes he's not going to, and I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think moving forward with him, I think what you need to do is just get him healthy. I think it's more important that he's healthy come...
All right, John, I'm good.
Yeah, you too. In May and June, if they get that far. For the Raptors,
right.
For the Celtics, for the Warriors, for the Rockets, for whatever teams they face, it matters more that they're going to have him there. I think if the plan is to keep him home, if he just doesn't travel with them, and we'll find out, I'm sure, Wednesday. We just don't know that yet. I very much think it just makes sense to let him rest and play Zizic, deal with it. You just try to get through that road trip as best you can, and then maybe you bring back him and Kevin Love around the same time. You know, Love's talking about the 8 weeks for Love to be the end of March. He talks about it as he wants to come back before. The team is downplaying it more than he is. And Lou, I think, was sort of in the middle ground of them when he talked about it before the Nuggets game. And saying that, you know, I don't know. It wasn't as definitive. But if he comes in the middle and you get Kevin Love back around the same time Tristan comes back, maybe that week. Maybe you get him back for the Raptors game.
I think you'd rather add the two than one and one. I think it makes more sense. Tristan's about to be a dad. Let him go take care of his ankle.
Yeah, let him go to L.A.
And get take care of Chloe. And they're good. Then you get some good faith. Not that it's necessarily needed. But sure, it doesn't hurt. I don't see any reason for him to be pushed.
Yeah. Larry, which, wrap it up for real, which Larry Nance alley-oop was your favorite?
Ooh, man. So I love when LeBron throws nasty alley-oops to people. Because there's just an air of this could have gone either way. And LeBron really put it up there for Nance. But also the one where, was that the Smith one where he kind of barely got up under the opposite side of the rim?
Jared throws awful lobs.
Right.
Jared's bad at lobs.
Right. Well, LeBron said the other night, sometimes the worst passes are the best oops. And I think that was proven tonight because Nance kind of had to go around the rim and still dunk with one hand. I'm doing it. You can't see it, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was cool. I mean, all of them. All of the above, those two, though.
Mine would be LeBron and him, just because Drummond had to pick.
Right.
And he just, like, there's no good pick there. So he picked, if he stays home on Nance and tries to play middle ground, LeBron's yamming on him, right? And if he does what he did, which is come on LeBron, Nance is just going to dunk on him in the back. There's no good choice there. It shows how devastating that pick and roll really could be. And I think seeing more of that is going to be exciting to see.
And the nice thing is LeBron, with his basketball acumen, knows you can't not guard me.
Yeah.
If you say, oh, I'm going to watch the oop and let LeBron literally do anything, whether it's dunk or lay it in, or, I mean, even if he pulled up for some insane reason, he was hitting it. So he knew that Drummond was coming to him because he's LeBron James, so he threw it up.
We're going to get out of here on that before the sirens go off again. But I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter at CWM Rights. Find Alex on Twitter at Lex Hooper. We'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow with a non-beeper-filled podcast.
This was, people need to know, this was maybe the hardest podcast to ever get recorded without ancillary noise.
It has been seamless. I've had really good luck so far since doing more of these at the queue. Don't know why this is the case tonight, but hopefully I'll find a solution to get deep into the playoffs, and we'll do more of these. And Alex, thanks for coming on. And hopefully, when you're back for the playoffs, that's what we're going to want. And read his Indians coverage, because that's baseball's
please
back.
Please do. Just click on it.
Yeah.
Please, I mean, stay on it for 8 minutes. I think that's how it registers. Yeah. But just click on it.
Yeah, but reading's good.
Reading's fun.
Read Fear the Sword. Read Alex. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.